Please remember Jay Newell in your prayers. He's having a test tomorrow at Centennial, so be mindful of him. And we know we have others who have, we've been mentioning our bulletin and discussing in other places, so have many to be thinking about this evening. And of course, so many things that we don't know among each other. We just know the things that are brought up and discussed, but there are so many things in each person's life that need prayer. And that's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4, Paul said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. So everything should be prayed about, thought about, and considered spiritually. So continue to do that for those we've mentioned, and Brother Newell and others who are traveling, those who are sick, and so many other things that are going on in our lives. So let's go to our Father in prayer before our lesson this evening. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for an opportunity to meet again on this first day of the week. Thankful for this beautiful weather. We know that in the next few weeks, the seasons will be changing, and we'll see the growing season and the blooming season. We're reminded of the power of your creation. And your word tells us that we can see your divine nature and your awesome power just in the world that we observe. We see at this time of year, and we're thankful for this world that you've given us that brings us so much joy. We know tonight there are many who are traveling. We know there are many who are sick, that are at home this evening and want to be with us but can't be so because of ailments. We pray that you bless them. Pray that you be with Brother Newell tomorrow. We pray that you bless Carolyn and those that have to care for him in a special way. Continue to be with Rick Reed and Brother Head, Mildred Walker, Addie Farmer. Continue to be with those who are hurting due to loss of loved ones. Be with those who are hurting spiritually, whose faith is weak. We know that all of these things that we're discussing now can draw us away from you if we do not see them correctly, if we misuse these situations. Help us to draw closer to you during these times and to focus on your word and to know that you love us, that you care for us, and that you'll see us through any pain and heartache. We pray tonight that you bless our study and may your word grow in our hearts so that we can mold ourselves into the life of Christ to the best of our ability. Bless the international situations in the Ukraine and in Asia and other things that are going on around the world where we see so much heartache and pain and suffering. We're thankful most of all for Jesus and the life that he gave us on the cross. For without him we would be dead in our sins, but we're alive together with him through the gospel. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From a very early age, we become very aware of what we can't do, almost more than what we can do. Your parents tell you when you're young, you can't do this and you can't do that. And as you grow up a little bit, you start trying to do things and you realize what you can't do. You realize what's difficult. You realize your limitations and your talents and abilities. You see what others are successful in, and you try that and say, I can't do it because I'm physically not strong enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm not smart enough. I don't have certain things, so I just can't do things. We unfortunately tell young people and tell other people that you can do anything that you want to do, and we know that's not true. You can't do anything that you want to do. We all have limitations. We all have things that we can't do. And in my own life, I just like you, seeing these things and thinking, well, I want to be a professional athlete, can't be a professional athlete, however. But then I looked up to people and admired people who did public speaking and who did preaching. And those were people, my dad and others who were close to me that I admired a lot. And so started doing that and was comfortable doing that. But I know that if I went to do your job and you did my job, we would both be scared to death to do that, to make that exchange, because you do things that I could imagine doing, and I know that I'm not capable of doing the things that you do for a living. I always admired people that did dangerous things for a living. You know, police officers or firefighters or people that enlist in the service academies and those types of things, that people willingly go overseas and go where there's bullets flying around and bombs underneath the ground that you can't see and all those types of things. I always admired that. I'm sure you admire those people as well. I remember when I was a child asking my mother about those people. Yeah, I don't know why I remember, you know, we remember things that we remember, but I just remember that one conversation of saying, "Mom, why do these people do that?" I mean, you have a choice of all these different things you can do in life, and that's what you want to do, something that's life-threatening. Why do people do that? And her answer, I guess it was so profound, is why it stood with me. She just said, well, God gives them the courage to do it. God just gives them the courage to do it. Now, that was good enough for me. It sounded good and made sense. That God just simply makes them almost want to do it. It gives them those abilities, gives them the talent, gives them the will, the courage. I guess what makes that statement so profound is she said it was from God. She didn't just say, well, those people are just better than everybody else, or made it something just about them. She said God gave it to them. They got that courage to do dangerous things from God. Some people think when it comes to courage that it's a personality trait, that it's something that if you don't have it, you can never have it. You can't ever have courage. Because again, we look at it just as the way we are. We don't think it's something God can give us. We don't think it's something He can help us with. It's just either you have it or you don't. It's a personality type of thing. Some people are just brave and courageous, and some people are just weak. You never change that. You can't go from one to the other. Well, we can see in Scripture and other places a lot of people that go from courage to weakness. Why can't we go from weakness to courage? I mean, why not? Why can't we do that? It's interesting that in Scripture, we're commanded to be courageous. We are commanded to be courageous. The Bible tells us to do it. The Bible doesn't say, well, if you're born that way, if it's part of your personality, if it's just easy for you to be courageous, then you can be courageous, but the rest of you, you can be as weak and afraid as you want to be. If I remember correctly in Scripture, there's a whole generation of people that were afraid to go to the Promised Land. And God said, you can't get away with it. God said, you can't just be weak and afraid. That's not going to cut it. You're going to die in the wilderness. And we're going to take people into the Promised Land that know that they're going to win if they do what I tell them to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses is giving counsel to Joshua. Of course, Moses was not allowed to go to the Promised Land. Joshua would. And we know Deuteronomy is basically just an entire book of Moses preaching. There's about 5 long sermons in the book of Deuteronomy where Moses is telling the new generation that's going to go to the Promised Land what they need to do when they get there. And beginning in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 31, it says, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel. So he stands up, Joshua, in front of everybody and says, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now imagine him saying that, says in front of all the people, saying that to Joshua. Be courageous. And don't be courageous because it's something you're going to have to come up with on your own, but be courageous because God is going to go ahead of you, and He's not going to fail you, and He's not going to forsake you. Boy, that's a different attitude than the Moses that stood at the burning bush when God spoke to him there in that bush, and he was afraid. He said, you got to go down to Egypt and save the people, save your people out of slavery. Moses said, oh, I can't do that. Moses was afraid. Moses looked at himself. He said, within my own capability, I cannot go do that. And God said, I'm going to I'm going to send you with some other people, and I'm going to tell you what to say. Don't worry about it. Here Moses, fast forward these many years, and he can't go to the promised land, and what's he telling Joshua? Be courageous. Seems like Moses has learned his lesson about how things go when you obey God. That when you obey God, you don't have to be afraid. He said, Joshua, you go into that promised land, you do what God tells you to do, you'll be fine. Then we have just a few pages over in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 6, where now the Lord is speaking to Joshua. Moses has already said this. Now the Lord tells Joshua in verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Again, he's putting the word courage with following God. He puts those two things together. God tells him, the Lord tells Joshua, you be strong and courageous because of what I'm going to do for you. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, stay on the path, and you're going to be okay. In the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1, we know Paul told Timothy, a young preacher, he said, for God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. You find fear in life. It comes from the things that you see. Fear comes from thoughts that we create for ourselves. And he said, God didn't give you that. God gave you a spirit of power and love and discipline. We can see so many other passages throughout Scripture that command us to be courageous. That it's not just this, we can just be weak and be fearful, and that's just fine. When we're with the Lord, we have courage. So much easier to fall back in fear than to move forward in courage. It's just easier to fall back in fear than to move forward in courage. Max Lucado's written a lot of books, a lot of things that he's said and done I don't agree with, if that name means anything to you. But he did write a book titled Imagine Your Life Without Fear. And that is something to think about, just that one statement. Imagine your life without fear. Think of all the times you were afraid of something and imagine you didn't feel that way. Imagine if you really could live a life where you didn't have moments of fear. But he wrote in that book, he said this, and I think it's pretty good. He said, questions can make hermits out of us, driving us into hiding. Yet the cave has no answers. Christ distributes courage through community. He dissipates doubts through fellowship. He never deposits all knowledge in one person, but distributes pieces of the jigsaw puzzle to many. When you interlock your understanding with mine, and we share our discoveries, when we mix, mingle, confess, and pray, Christ speaks. He's saying here, we get courage from one another. I like when he said there, he said that God never puts all knowledge in one person. But you have knowledge of some things and you have knowledge of some things, and when we come together and we share those things, we have courage. We don't have the same experiences. We don't have the same feelings. We don't hurt the same way. We don't rejoice the same way. We come from different life experiences, and we will continue to have different experiences. But when we start sharing these things, we have courage. We say, I learned a little bit from that. I learned from this person. I can take away some of this. I learned a little bit there. I think I can do it. There are a lot of examples of courage in Scripture, of people that stayed committed to God and got a little bit of courage more and more every day. I mean, most in the Old Testament, of course, Joshua and Caleb, when they go to spy out the promised land. You think of Gideon, Joshua, Judges chapter 7, where he starts off with a decent-sized army, and God keeps saying, no, you just keep cutting that down and cutting it down and cutting it down, to finally has 300. And the Bible says that they were going against the Midianites, whose numbers were as numerous as locusts. Didn't even give us a number. Said you couldn't count all the camels they had. You couldn't count all the stuff, the size of this army they were going against. Gideon could be very afraid. But again, when it was, you put him being obedient to God, then success. He says in Joshua chapter 7, when the army, of course, had been divided, such an inspiring passage. Well, they finally had success. We see the result of Gideon's courage. Beginning in verse 19 of Judges chapter 7. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him, you know, they divided in three different areas, 100 in each. So Gideon with the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. When the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held their torches in their left hands, the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and cried, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Each stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran, crying out as they fled. Those people stood with courage, did what God told them to do, and the enemy ran away. Your enemy will run away as well. We can think of David and Goliath when the whole army of Israel is watching this giant go down in the valley there, the valley of Elah. Every day he's challenging Israel and everybody's too afraid. And the last person that they would send out to match up with Goliath is David, who's not even in the army. He's there delivering things to his brothers. And they laugh at him at first when he even suggests going down to face Goliath. And once they finally tell him, okay, you can go, they put the armaments on him, and he's too small to even walk. He can't even use them. But he was so offended that this Philistine was blaspheming God that he had to be stopped. He said, we can't allow this person to do this. And you know how that story ends. David, doing what God wanted him to do, was victorious. We can talk about Esther. When Haman had declared that all the Jews were going to be destroyed because Mordecai, her uncle, had not bowed before Haman, Mordecai goes to Esther and said, you've got to say something to the king. And she said, well, you just can't walk up to the king and say anything. And Mordecai told her, said, maybe you were made queen for such a time as this. Maybe because, in other words, because of your courage, maybe because you're in this position, if you'll just talk to him, you can save an entire race of people. And she did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a foreign land, refusing to bow down to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar had built. Three people in all the sea of people who were bowing down, they refused to do it. We can go on and on about people in the Bible who said, I'm going to be with God against all odds. I'm going to be with God against the king. I'm going to be with God against an army of the Midianites that we can't even count. I'm going to be with God every day. And when that happened, they always won. But when they ran away from God, and when they were fearful, and when they thought, well, God can't help little old me, they lost. I want us to think for just a couple more minutes tonight about some areas of life where we need to have courage. Some places where we need to find courage. Because if we do, we'll have better churches, we'll have better families, we'll convert people to the Lord. I think, of course, we need to have courage when we raise children. We need to have a lot of courage in that. You know that's the case. We know that public school system is not in Scripture. It doesn't mean you shouldn't send your kids to school. It just simply means that when you read the Bible, the primary teaching for children comes from mom and dad. Deuteronomy chapter 6, when the law was given, Moses said, you have to teach your kids the law, and you have to teach them in the morning, you have to teach them at night, you have to saturate these little people with God's word, or they're never going to learn it, and they're never going to obey God. We see that in the New Testament.
In Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's given to fathers. It doesn't say hand off that responsibility to somebody else. And don't ever teach your children anything about faith until they let the Bible back in the schools. And then everything will just work out if we just wait for the government to take care of our spiritual training. You wait for that, you're going to lose. So you have to have a lot of courage in the world we live in to raise children, to accept and fulfill that responsibility. You have to have a lot of courage in our society when you select the type of entertainment that you participate in. We focus a lot of times when it comes to entertainment about the words you hear, certain scenes with men and women. I think that's a little too narrow, actually. We live in a world, you're going to hear things, you're going to see things, but we also, when we just look for one or two different things and say, well, we need to avoid that, a lot of times it's surrounded by a story or a message that of lying and murder and all types of things that are equally as troubling. And so we have to be careful about those things. We have to understand that what's in our minds and how we use what goes in are often things that come out. We don't need to saturate our minds with things that are worldly. We have to have a lot of courage when making those types of decisions. We have to have a lot of courage when it comes to how we talk to the people in the world who are lost. A lot of times when you want to have those conversations, you get a little bit nervous. You say, this person might not like me if I start talking about Jesus. Might make an uncomfortable relationship. It might be a conversation that has to happen with somebody in your own family. Say, I don't know if I want to talk to Uncle So-and-so about that, or grandmother, grandfather, child, son or daughter. I'm afraid of what might happen in our relationship. Well, the conversation still needs to happen. It has to happen at the right time, in the right place. I'm not saying just anywhere, anytime. It has to be a conversation that has mutual respect and not condescension or threats and ultimatums and things like that. I don't think the Bible teaches us to talk to one another like that. But I think that the church as a whole, I mean all churches of Christ, have declined in our numbers, in our membership over the last 25 or 30, 40 years because people in the pew have really lost that sense of evangelism, taking a responsibility for it, saying, the Bible tells me, Jesus tells me, I have to evangelize. That's not just for one or two people to do. It's for everyone to do. We have to have courage when we talk to people about the Lord. We have to have courage when we face disease. All of us are going to be faced with something. Maybe something minor, maybe something large when it comes to our health. But it can affect our faith when our bodies start to decline and we become more susceptible to things. I've seen it with a lot of people because our minds and our bodies are connected. We get discouraged. We always are reminded of Job in those times when everything around him collapsed and when he got sick and he wasn't privileged to see that conversation that went on between Satan and God to know why that was happening. He was limited into his understanding of all of that. And he asked a lot of questions. But we know that early on in that story, it says that in all of that, Job did not sin. Job stayed with the Lord, and the result of that was the Lord, of course, stayed with him. He was blessed mightily for his faith and all that he went through. We need a lot of courage, though. Job needed a lot of courage when he faced that. And finally, the last thing where we need a lot of courage, it's simple to say, and it's sort of the easy thing to talk about when you get a bunch of Christians together, but you just have to have a lot of courage to do the right thing. I remember when I was a teenager, had a Sunday school teacher really admired, and he said, you know, you're going to have a lot of adults tell you that this is a time in your life where you figure out the difference between right and wrong. And he said, I can tell you, as an adult, at the time he was in his 40s,
He said you're faced every day of your life, not just when you're a teenager, but every day of your life, you're going to be faced with what's right and what's wrong. New situations, new inventions, things are being created every single day in different places we're going to have to be and say, is this the right thing to do or is this the right thing to do? And he said, so don't ever think, don't ever relax on that. And when you decide, when you know the right thing to do, when you read the Bible and you see what God wants you to do, you have to have the courage to do it. David did it. Daniel did it. Gideon did it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did it. It would have been easy for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down to that idol and say, well, the Lord understands. The Lord knows my heart. He understands. I'll just go ahead and bow down and worry about the rest later. What they needed in that moment was courage, and they had it, and they did what was right. Need to have courage in every area of life. It's something, as my mother said, the Lord will give you. The Lord will bless you when you need it, and you can be a shining light in this world. Sometimes it takes, or it does take, I shouldn't say, sometimes, it always takes courage for someone to state their faith and become a Christian. Sometimes just the courage to come forward in a worship service, if that's the time when somebody decides to do that. Really, any time. It takes an amount of courage to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm going to live for Him. I want to be baptized into Christ, repent of my sins. It takes courage. But we know, as with all these other situations, that when we demonstrate that faith and we have that courage, that God blesses us. God will bless you. The Bible is clear that your sins will be washed away, that you'll rise to walk in new life. You'll be added to the Lord's church. And the Lord will provide a place for you in heaven as you live faithfully to Him each day of your life. If that is what you need, or you simply just need prayers, we can assist you with that. We encourage you to come now while we stand and sing.